Finally, this hour, a magic word for lots of girls under the age of six, princess. Princess mania is getting a boost, as if it needed one, with a new movie from Pixar called Brave. It opens this weekend. NPR's Netta Ulaby takes the occasion to explore the cultural value of princesses.
For a keyhole glimpse into the pink and glittery world of pre-K princess culture, let's visit a princess-themed birthday party in a Washington, D.C. suburb. A gaggle of four-year-old girls are drawn like filings to a magnet when a lady dressed as a princess shows up in a costumey blonde wig and iridescent gown.
There you are!
I heard it was your birthday today.
The little girls romping in crowns and gowns are ridiculously cute. And they are obsessed, says mom Cammie Ragsdale, to the point where she says adults routinely use princesses as leverage. For example, when they went to a Korean restaurant, her daughter did not want to eat the unfamiliar food.
And they brought out at the Korean restaurant a princess plate to try to entice her to eat, which I thought, I was like, wow, it's everywhere, you know?
From candy to toothbrushes, if you want to sell something to little girls, chances are you'll slap a princess on it. And it's Disney princesses that are the engine of a massive marketing campaign that fuels a $4 billion industry. Peggy Orenstein wrote a book about it called Cinderella Ate My Daughter. She says it's not even just for little girls anymore.
Christian Louboutin just came out with a glass slipper shoe for grown-ups. I'm waiting for the Snow White coffin so that we can go womb to tomb.
Orenstein says some parents encourage this princessy stuff because it feels safe.
We feel like it retains or reinforces an innocence in little girls in a world that is feeling increasingly threatening and sexualizing of little girls.
But Orenstein says the emphasis on beauty in princess culture is not protecting little girls. It's priming them.
And putting them on this sort of trajectory that went from Disney princess at 3 and a full complement of lip smackers at 4 and, you know, keeping up with the Kardashians at 7 and America's Top Model at 11.
You want to be on top?
Still, it's possible the Disney princess brand may have painted the company in a corner. The movie The Princess and the Frog was a relative box office disappointment, perhaps because princesses are now associated with a niche audience, says Orenstein.
It used to be when these movies came out, like Cinderella, like Snow White, like Little Mermaid, like Mulan, they were family movies, and everybody went to see them. They weren't branded as for little girls.
Princesses used to be for everyone. Now they're seen as so specific to little girls, that's been a bit of a problem for Brave, says Pixar producer Catherine Serafian.
We've kind of had to fight, like, the princess thing. Like, oh, well, she's a princess. Princess movie. Because we've seen the princess thing done so many times.
I am Merida, firstborn descendant of Clan Dunbrog.
Serafian says they actually experimented with making Merida not a princess.
We tried making her, like, the blacksmith's daughter and the milkmaid and various things. There's no stakes in the story for us that way.
Some people might be able to find stakes in the story of a blacksmith's daughter or a milkmaid, but apparently not Pixar, owned, of course, by Disney.
We wanted to show real stakes in the story where, you know, the peace of the kingdom and, you know, the traditions are all at stake.
That was not a problem with the regular boy heroes in earlier Pixar movies such as Up. Right now, Hollywood's solution to broadening princesses' appeal seems to be by giving them swords or arrows.
A princess does not place her weapons on the table.
Mom!
From Brave to Snow White and the Huntsman, warrior princesses are having a moment. But unlike their predecessor, the girl power Xena of the 1990s, none have female friends. And the bad guys are often older women.
Mirror. Mirror. On the wall.
It's possible the prince's preoccupation reflects a country with a growing wealth disparity and an enduring fascination with wealthy girls famous for being famous. But a rich girl is just spoiled. A princess is something special.
Hi, I'm the princess, and I'm America's next drag superstar.
The performer, whose real name is Adam Biga, competed on the TV show RuPaul's Drag Race. He's been busy with Pride events this month, so he called from the road to discuss how he became a princess.
I was a prissy little gay boy, and my roommate would call me princess.
Biga says he's living, strutting proof that princesses have not been completely reduced to a marketing tool for Disney.
I think we only get to see one side of them.
Biga says there's still plenty of room in the culture for people to create and become whatever they think a princess should be.
And it doesn't take much. It's just how you hold yourself and carry yourself. I definitely am a type of person who holds my head up high and carries my shoulders back.
By loving something as aspirational and transformative as a princess, says Biga, it's possible those little girls are onto something. Neto Ulibi, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.